Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Bala Bello. Enjoy the Spirit.
Is glorious. His name is awesome. We stand upon the multitude of waters. Who dwell upon the circles of the earth. Who covers himself with unapproachable light. The consuming fire, the consuming fire. The Lord God Almighty. The Father of grace, the Father of spirit. The Lord God of the world. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. The blessed Redeemer. You are the sound of your way, we acknowledge you. You are the Lord of all, we acknowledge you. You are the King of glory, we acknowledge you. You are the one that was, that is, that will be forever, we acknowledge you. You are the one that dead and live forever, we acknowledge you. You are the one that quickened the dead, we acknowledge you. Without you, we are less than carcass. Without you, we are dead. Without you, our life is miserable. But when you came, you turned our life around. When you came, you turned the dead to become the living soul. We bless you. We adore you. Thank you for the privilege of calling. Thank you for the privilege of sonship. Thank you for grace that we have to wine at your table. Hallowed be your name. King of glory, the Messiah, the Meshach, the Messiah, the risen King, the Lord of hosts. Thank you. We bless you. Our soul does magnify the Lord. Our soul does extol your name. Our spirit lifts you high above all others. For we know no other God apart from you. Thank you. We give you praise. We adore you. For gathering us together to feed us again. For gathering us together to cleanse and purify us by the word of life, by the word of truth. We thank you for the word of the Spirit that is turning us to become spirit. Thank you, dear Father. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Ore mose for day, deep over day. Reclaw to day, but above for today. Let the heaven come, let the heart melt away, let the heaven come, let the heart melt away, let the heaven come, let the descending of the angels, let the spirit come, let the spirit come, let them begin to minister spirit to us. Let them begin to minister grace to us. Let them begin to minister life unto us. Let them begin to minister life unto us. Let the Spirit come. Let the Spirit come. We are tired of flesh. Let the Spirit come. Let it come upon us. Let it come upon us. Let it overwhelm us. Let the Spirit come. Let the Spirit of grace come. Let the Spirit of glory come. Let the Spirit of glory come. Let the life of the Father come. Let the life of the Son come. Let the truth begin to dawn upon our soul. Let the truth come. You are the truth. In you is life. You are the truth. You are the truth. The way. The life. You are the truth. We bring the truth down. We bring the spirit of truth down. We bring the spirit of truth down. We bring the spirit of truth down. Thank you. Oh, yeah, for the day. Broly boy, they get the ball. Oh, Alade wura tide o, Alade wura tide o, Alade wura tideo. He has come. The King of Glory has come. The King of Glory has come. The Great One has come. The Mighty One has come. The Eternal One has come. The Blessed One has come. The One who gives life has come. Thank you. Oh, we thank you. We can't thank you enough. We just want to thank you. Thank you. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your breath. Can you sing it for us?
I will worship from afar.
Hallelujah.
Draw me into where you are. I just want to be
This is our desire. Our longing. This is what we long for. This is what we desire. This is our task.
Thank you for this drawing. Nothing will pull us back again. Thank you for this drawing. Nothing will take us away from you. Thank you for this drawing. Nothing will take us away from you. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. We trust you for bread. We trust you for wine. We trust you for impartation. We trust you for cleansing. We trust you for purification. We trust you for healing. We trust you that a new thing will be done in our lives. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. The mystery of Babylon. I briefly spoke about the mystery of the kingdom on Sunday. And I feel compelled in my spirit that there's need for us to also talk, even though the first one was not discussed fully. But I know that the Lord will help us to be able to expand it much more than that, so that we will grow in this thing. But there's something that has been bothering my heart that I want to share with you about the mystery of Babylon. The mystery of Babylon. Can you give us the book of Revelation chapter 17? Revelation chapter 17. From verse 1 to 6. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven veils, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. The background is John the Beloved. This is John the Beloved. They are having discussion with the angels. And I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Hallelujah. I made mention last Sunday that wherever you see waters, they are talking about nations. They are talking about continents. They are talking about people. And the word seated implies kingdom. It implies authority. It implies dominion. until I make my enemy thy footstool. So when anywhere you see the word seated, you are talking about authority. They are talking about dominion. So these people sat upon many waters. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the heart have committed fornication. Likes and likes we always attract. You understand? Because they are kings. So they relate together. And the kings of the heart find it very convenient to fornicate. And to fornicate with them. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of our fornication. In other words, what the kings gives unto the inhabitants of the earth is drink. He has prepared a drink for people. And he daily gives this drink. He dispenses the drink unto people. And it is the wine of our fornication. Verse 3. So, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. They left the scene. And I saw a woman. I saw a woman sit upon scarlet, colored beast, full of names. The woman in question is also a king. She's supposed to be who? A king. Because all the connotations and the description that you see here are the coloration of kings. When we are talking about scarlet, you won't forget in a hurry the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The scarlet robe. Okay? So I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet color beast full of names of blasphemy. She's also a king. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. Power and authority. Their power, their authority, their dominion. Their power, they have dominion. And the woman was arrayed in purple and a scarlet color. Royalty is what purple represents. For those of you who know color. So when they're talking about purple, they're talking about royalty. So she's a king. That woman is a king. It's a dominion. It's an authority. It's an institution. Purple and scarlet color. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Having a golden cup in her hand. She also have in her hand a golden cup. And in that cup was what? Full of abominations and filthiness of our what? Of our fornication. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. The great Babylon the Great. Mystery Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots. An abomination of her. The mother of who? Harlot. An abomination of the earth. Now, we need to understand that the word mystery is an oppression of Babylon that is shrouded in secrecy. What that mystery connotes is that something is underneath but being covered up. And so, the intention, the original intention was not revealed unto men. And they could not understand because it was veiled. This thing was veiled. It was full of secrecy. Now, what they were seeing is not the real thing. But they were seeing fake. But the original is covered. It's covered. It's like an egugu. Like I said on Sunday, when egugu wears his robe, you won't know that egugu was your friend that hurt with you yesterday. But you think Yoruba will say that ara orun kenken. It's not ara orun, it's ara ye. You understand? It's your friend who hurt with you, who hurt and why with you. But because he veiled, so there is a mystery. And that mystery is what makes him to be an egugu. But in the real sense of it, he's a person, he's a human being. This is exactly what Babylon connotates. It connotates mystery. You can't discover this mystery except your thoughts. Like I said, except your faculty is aided by divinity. You can't discover that this is mystery. This is a Babylon. Now listen, the Babylon does not present itself as Babylon, but it presented itself in this teaching as a woman. Praise the Lord. He presented himself as a woman. She appeared as a woman. But In the riches of it, she's a Babylon the Great, the mother of our Lord. As a matter of fact, he was presented as noble woman, a king. The one that was arrayed and decked with all kind of princely attires. She was adorned and decked with all kind of princely attire. So there is an attractiveness unto him, unto this woman. People can easily relate. People want to associate and relate with this woman because of her attire. And much more, she has in her hand a cup where he gives people drink. And those drinks satisfy the souls of men. So they could not understand that it was a woman. It was a Babylon that represents a woman. Praise the Lord. But there are so many illiterates in church, not because they did not go to school, but because their eyes of understanding is not enlightened. For them to understand the operation of Babylon, and so when they see Babylon, it is difficult for them to discern them. Praise God. It's very, very, very difficult, if not impossible, for them to discern it. And so they celebrate Babylon. They relate with Babylon. They wine with Babylon. They drink from the cup of her abominations. Praise the Lord. Now, why it was missing? Can you give me the book of Mark chapter 4 verse 10? Mark 4:10. Our test for... Okay. And when he was alone, they that were about him with 12 asked of him the parable. He was teaching them with parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Parabolic, there are two parabolic operations in the world. The first parabolic operation is the operation of the Holy Ghost, which is also veiled in lamb. It is veiled in lamb. It is veiled in meekness. It is veiled in lowliness. It is veiled in all kinds of things that are unattractive to people. And so because of this unattractiveness of these parables, people draw back from it. They don't want to drink from that cup. And yet it is the cup of life. Now the second parabolic operation is the operation of the evil spirit. And because of the attractiveness of it, people run to it. Listen, in the actual sense of it, evil spirit will not appear as an evil spirit. Evil spirit is not that film that you watch that has two horns. Or is having tails. Oh, if you see that one, you will run away. You know that this is evil spirit. Evil spirit is in the church. They put on beautiful coats. Do you understand? Beautiful coats. They deck themselves, they array themselves in all kind of apparel that veil them as an evil spirit. And so when they come, they you would know that they are evil spirits. Praise the Lord. Now listen. The word Babylon started from the building of Babel. Genesis 10:10. Can you give us 10:10? Genesis 10:10. I want to quickly run this thing because I'm aware of your exams and I trust God that we will finish in a good time and Holy Spirit will help us. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Kaneh. In the land of Shinar, how many kingdoms do Nikoni? That was just the beginning, no? It's not an end. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now, listen. In actual part of it, Babel started right from the garden. Babel started right from the garden. Babel is about self-actualization. Babel is about self-realization. Babel is about self-government, his kingdom. Kingdom represents what? Freedom, authority, standing on my own as a king who will not need another king. Do you understand? And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. That was the beginning of self-actualization. That is where Babylon was coined out. That I am a kingdom on my own, I won't need any kingdom. I am an authority on my own, I won't need any authority. Self-actualization. I don't need anybody to control or to lord it over me. I can take decisions on my own because I am an adult. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. That was where the word Babylon was coined. That was the beginning of Babylon. Self-actualization, self-realization, self-independent, self-kingdom. I'm an adult. I'm an authority. Praise God. And what the Babel represents is the things of the world. Is the kingdom that is run parallel to the kingdom of the Father. Is a kingdom that run parallel to the kingdom of Christ. That kingdom does not run line in line or pari passu with Christ. He said, Oba ipe meji laafin. How do they sing that song? You can have many chiefs, but you can't have two kings. Do you understand? You can't have two kings. There will be clash. You can't be the king of the heart, and you expect the Lord Jesus Christ, and you call him the king of the heart. When he was announced that we have come to worship the king of Israel, he said, please show me where he is, so that I can also worship him. Was that the intention? The intention was to destroy him, to kill him. Because two kings cannot reign at a time. And that was the beginning of the world, Babel. So, now, listen. Babylon essentially is about the riches of the heart. Praise God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to drive it to a strong end. Babylon is what? It's about the riches of the earth. When they called Esau, that wicked man, who left the presence of God, you know what he did? He departed from the presence of God and established his own kingdom elsewhere. And he became duke, and his children became dukes. Duke of this, duke of that, duke of this, duke of that. Because he wanted to run his own kingdom, and it was parallel. We won't have this man to rule over us. We will not have the Lord God to rule over us. That was what Babylon means. It means riches. We must have riches in abundance. We must have prosperity in abundance. We must have glory. We must have honor in abundance. So, Babylon seeks nothing but the glory of the world. Can you give us the book of Matthew 4:8? Matthew 4:8. See, he said, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and shew him all the kingdoms of the world. And what? And the glory of them. The glory of them. He took the Lord Jesus Christ and he began to reveal unto him. And somebody said it was a mind game. You understand? Me and him, we were in the church. I was to pastor the church. But because he was an elderly person who has gone to Victory Bible School in Nota. So he came with theology that temptation was not really. It was just a mind game. He was teaching. And because I am the pastor, I took mic from him. And he said I was rude. That after all, he was my father's mate. Praise God. I won't forget this scripture. And he walked away. And people were asking me, hello, Baba, we must stand. We have started this thing for a long time. That was in 1993. Praise God. The man, after that, he got blinded. He was blinded for many years. I didn't pray about it too. I didn't ask God to. But it was because he caused himself that day. Praise God. And that's why we must come to this awareness of standing for Christ. Standing for Christ is opposing falsehood, irrespective of who is saying it. Oppose falsehood. I knew that if I did not correct that statement that day, so people felt that you are rude. I was a small boy then, truly. But I knew that this thing was not a mind game. That's the stuff that they teach them in Bible school. Yeah, it was a mind game. Mind thing. It's a mind thing. I just say, Baba, please. Thank you. Your time is up now. Because I know that error must be corrected. So he was taken up into an exceeding high mountain and shew him all the kingdom of the world. So when we are talking about battle, we are talking about glory, honor. That's what they seek. It's Gentile mentality. The Gentile mentality. The mentality of Gentile. The operation of Gentile. Shout hallelujah. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 17. Let's start from verse 4. From verse 1. Now, you see the picture that we saw. And there came one of the seven angels, which are seven veils, and talk with me. Those ones are preamble. You understand? They are just preamble. Now, he said, and talk with me, saying unto me, come, hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great hall. The judgment of the great hall. You know, this is not the judgment of God, but the judgment of that hall. Ashewu, that harlot, that fornicator. Now, when we are saying hall, he was not sleeping around with people. Decent person. Do you understand? He wasn't sleeping, he wasn't fornicating. Like I said, fornication is the lowest form of sin. But this is the sin that we are talking about. So he was not sleeping with people. Or that seated upon many waters. Now, verse 2. And whom the king of the heart have committed fornication, and the inhabitant of the heart have been made drunk with the wine of our fornication. This woman is a bride. Praise God. This woman is who? Is a bride. He's talking about a bride. And you ask yourself, why is it that they use her for church? Because church is a woman, it's a bride. Do you understand? Church is a what? It's a woman. Church is a bride. We are a bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. So in essence, what they are showing unto us is the picture of church. Praise God. What they are showing to us is the picture of church. Let's go back to verse 2. With whom came of the heart committed fornication. Now, listen. After the dark hour, the dark period of the church, and Constantine, you know, was converted and he became a Christian, it is easy for the kings of the world to associate with the church. As a matter of fact, church became preeminent. As you can see that this woman was very preeminent. Church became very, very preeminent and pronounced. If you are not in the church, you are not alive then. You can't claim to be rich without being in the church. Now, your riches must be shown first and foremost in the church. I told you some years back, you know, when a pope, a prince of Rome visited a pope in the same Rome, and he said, come, come. He called the prince, come, come. Let me show you. Gone were the days when Peter says, gold and silver I had none, but such as I have, I give to you. He said, gone were the days when church does not have gold and silver. Come, let me show you silver and gold. After he showed silver and gold unto the man, the prince looked at him. He said, gone were the days when the church with speak to the lame to rise up, and the lame will rise. Praise the Lord. So he was talking about church, and the king has come to commit all kind of abomination, fornication with church. They came to commit all form of fornication, and the inhabitants of the heart have been made drunk with the wine. Now listen, anywhere you see the word wine, they were talking about spirit of the world. The spirit of the world. And if you look at what is happening in church, especially in Nigeria, you will discover that what reigns in church today is what? The glory of the world. Praise God. What, that is what is reigning. The glory of the world. The glory, the honor, the prosperity, the riches, the abundance of the earth. And so, if you are not riding limousine on ground and aircraft on the air, you can't stand there with them. You can't talk. I don't know how many of you are watching, are following up the recent event of a can issue. You are following it. You will see a lot of how can a Christian body who represent morality, integrity, and uprightness will come up and begin to defend unrighteousness. That is the mystery of Babylon. And it's about greed, it's about money, it's about... And so, they began to give this drink to the church. They began to give this drink to the church. They will come, they will give drink, they will pour the drink into the cup of the church. The church will drink, will take from the drink, they will drink it, and when they go out, they don't talk about Christ again. They talk about riches and glory of the world. Mystery Babylon. Praise God. Mystery Babylon. That's why the Bible calls it great mystery. And yet the church did not know. Even an average church member, the people of the earth, they could not discern it. That church is not cut out for all of these things. There's a different thing that we are called out to. Now, how do I know that chapter is talking about a woman or a church? 1 Peter chapter 3. Can you give us verse 3? Okay, let's start from there. He said, why they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear? Verse 3. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting of apparel. Verse 4. Or putting of apparel, but let it be the eating man of the earth. Let it be of the eating earth of the earth. Now, what we saw in Revelation chapter 17 is what? Those open apparel, the gold, the scarlet, the purple, and all of those things that connotate royalty that the woman was wearing. And it was an opposite of what Peter charged the church. Listen, when he's talking to women here, he's not only talking to women, he's talking to the church of Christ. Praise God. He's talking to the church. He said, but let the hidden man of the earth, but let it be the hidden man of the earth, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's the glory. That's the honor. That's the beauty of Christians. That's the beauty of the church. Let me not use the word Christian. That's the beauty of the church. The glory of the church is not in what church possesses. It is in what church becomes. The honor of the church is when church comes into the image of Christ. Listen, with all the glory, with all the wealth that church has now, do we have name in Nigeria? Edamilo. Do we have name? Don't go to somewhere and introduce yourself as a pastor looking for contract. They will be three times careful with you. Pastor, okay. As a matter of fact, openly they begin to discuss. Pastor, well, this is not church. We are tithe. We are, you take tithe. You give us 20%, our own 20%. Go and pay first. Because they can't trust you. And yet, we have all the money in the church. We have all the glory in the church. But that name was not there. The word bride has been taken away from the church. It's the mystery of Babylon. That is how far Babylon has come to colonize the church and to take the church from the Father and bring the church to himself. What we see now is the church of the world, not the church of Christ. But a change is coming. And that change starts with you. I say that change starts with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we must give unto Father that which belongs to Father. When it was asked of Jesus, is it lawful to pay tax? He said, bring a coin. He said, of which image and of which inscription is in this coin? He said, Caesar. He said, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Man does not belong to Babylon. Man belongs to God. And man is going to return back to God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say we are returning back to God. We are going back to God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Shout hallelujah. So the adorning of bride with purple and scarlet color. Now if you look at that, we can begin to give it another meaning. Please go to Revelation chapter 17 again. And in verse 3. He said, can we? Okay, yes, that's it. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. He sat upon a scarlet colored beast. It's an operation. This scarlet colored beast is an operation. Full of names of blasphemy. In other words, it was the beast that was controlling the activities of the woman. You understand? Now, where that beast take her to is where she is. It's like a wind. Where that beast take her to is where the woman is. And full of names, blasphemy, having seven heads. Now, what am I saying? The word scarlet there is about priesthood. Priesthood is talking about church. That's why I know this is church. Okay, let's look at the book of Matthew. Matthew 27. And they strip him and put on him a what? A scarlet robe. They put on him a scarlet robe. Now, which also typify royalty of Christ. Which also typify kingship of Christ. Don't forget that church is made a priest and a what? And a king. Unto the God and unto his Father. And we will rule on the earth. And we will rule on the earth. So, now, the basic point I am trying to make is that that woman being a bride was a priest, a church, is a type of church and the type of operation that is in the church in our days. Praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Whatever is not going to produce righteousness in us as church, whatsoever is not going to produce purity in us as church, whatsoever enticement that was given unto Christ and Christ rejected, the church must also what? Reject it vehemently. Oh, somebody is saying that, is this man saying that the church should be poor? The church was never poor, even in the day of Christ. Are you aware of that? Oh, the church was never poor, but the church never run after money. How many people in the class of Christ or in the day of Christ that fit as great number of people that the Lord Jesus Christ fed? No single one. Nicodemus, the ruler of synagogue, was amazed to see that great work. And he ran to him. He said, "We have seen great work in you." Why? Because somebody will just take 3 loaves of bread. Is it 5 loaves of bread and 3 fishes? And he will see thousands of people down and he will feed to them. He could feed people. And yet, he was without a job. He was not working. Now, you can now begin to find out why has we turned away from what should be our priority to what is not the priority of the church. It's because of that mystery, Babylon. In other words, instead of church colonizing the Babylon has colonized the church. When you see such oppression, I beg of you, run away from them. It is not of God. It is not of God. I wrote an article in the, I think it was the last one. And somebody called me, he said, "This man, this thing you are writing, what is in your mind? What exactly are you telling us? You are criticizing the church." I'm not in any form criticizing the church. I'm just telling the fathers that this is how the church supposed to be run. And this is how the church supposed to be. God will begin to speak to them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said the Lord will begin to speak to them. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. They put on the Lord Jesus Christ a scarlet robe. After they put the scarlet robe on him, and they put King of Kings on his head. King of Kings. Meaning, this is... And when they had plaited crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. And a reed in his right hand, and they bow the knee before him and mock him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews." Praise the Lord. Now, it is the same mockery that the church is going through now. The same mockery. The same mockery in the book of Revelation chapter 17 that we read. It's the same mockery. They are still mocking us. The same way they mock the Lord, because they know that church has been colonized by the world. Praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. I watched a video where the Sultan of Sokoto and the Khan president were sitting together, and Sultan of Sokoto was much more recognized and preferred than our Khan. It wasn't so in the beginning. It's just because we have The Babylon has taken away the church in Nigeria. And unfortunately, people who were in the church, they did not know it. They could not perceive it. They could not understand it. They are running along with the system, thinking that they are running things for God. Praise the Lord. So that is why we need to begin to understand what is our role at this end time. What is our purpose? Where do we fit in at this end time? Listen, I tell you this. I've never been much more comfortable and much more confident in God like now that I have put everything. I was telling Mommy or Son Ibi, I think a few days ago. Of course, I know a lot of people in Nigeria. I have connection. I do. I know I do. I know people. It's true. This is your vice president. I have slept in his house for about 3 months. And he was feeding me. Was just sleeping. Sleeping in his house. And he come to me and say, "Commander, I hope you are okay." I said, I'm okay. When he was sworn in as the vice president and I pick a call and I call him, I said, "This man must have deleted my number." I said, "Oh, my commander." I said, "Okay, so you still have my number." I said, "What will take your number away from me? That's a usual man for you." But upon all those connections, nothing was made out of it. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, all other things will be added unto you. No wonder the Bible says that woe unto man who made man his confident, who betide him. I remember I followed a woman because I know that woman had connection. I follow her so much that, okay, I know that by the time our guests are coming out of university, she will fix them in good places. But she cannot even fix her home. She cannot even fix her home. And yet from nowhere, these things were fixed. Were pleasantly fixed. Without even my input. These are the things that has led us to be colonized and we become slaves unto Babylon. Babylon dictates for us. We drink daily from the abomination and the filthiness of Babylon. You know the abomination of Babylon. You know the filthiness of Babylon. Like I said, it's not more than it's not more than that low level operation. No, the abomination of Babylon is like, okay, fine, we will give you a job. Swear that you won't betray us. I said, just to swear, it's an abomination of Babylon. You don't know. I told you a story when they asked me to come and be the chairman of my local government, and they took me to a place. Around 1 a.m. Already my heart was beating. I said, I'm dead. If I can just leave this place. I said, who are we waiting for? They said, no. We are waiting for Oluwo. When I heard Oluwo, I said, my soul is gone. And I began to pray. I said, God, give me a word. Just give me a word. Just give me a word. I did not hear anything from God again. Because it's not a place where God will operate. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. I know I've missed it. I know I'm in the wrong place. But just this once. If you can just help me once. And the Holy Spirit gave me a word. He said, tell the man that you never prepare for this. And I look at that man. I said, Kajesi, I didn't prepare for this. Please, let me come back another time. I'm not prepared. You can say I am shaking now. He said, no, you don't need any preparation. I said, I need it. Let me prepare. The man said, when will you come back? I said, I can't say, but I will come back. Let me prepare. He said, but we have somebody to come back. I said, please, let me prepare. And he said, okay, no problem. If you are not prepared, go and prepare. Up to today. 7 years ago. Up to today, I don't think I will ever see that Oba until he dies. I doubt it. I can't see him again. He sent my brother to me, never again. Because this is the abomination of what? Of Babylon. And people easily drink from it. People easily drink because of money. Because of money. I know that the riches of God, the Bible says that the blessings and the riches of God, the blessings of God make it rich. It added, listen, but the truth is that it could drag. You understand? It's not simultaneous. It could drag. It could take a while. And that while is to prepare you so that when you get that riches, you will not drink from the cup of the abomination. Praise God. You will not drink from the cup of the abomination. That's why when I see somebody asking for the anointing of Adeboye, have you ever fasted for 40 days without food? How can you get it? How can you? God bless you like him. People that sit on his chair when he stand up, they are thieves. That is one of the abominations. Drinking from the abomination of what? Of Babylon. It's covetousness that you say, Baba, and you now quickly go and sit down there. Even if he asks you to come and sit down, nothing can happen. It won't happen to you. You will stand up dry. That is if you survive it. So the time has come for church to begin to know what our location is. Our location is the kingdom. Let's begin to see this mystery of the Babylon and run away for it. It is about self. He does not pursue any other interest. He does not pursue the interest of the kingdom for your own interest. The best of them will say, okay, come for miracles. It is still your own interest. I pray the God of heaven will help us. He will open our hearts to understand. He will make us to know this mystery. And once we know it, we will run away from it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is mystery because it is veiled. It is mystery because it presents itself as one of us. If you go back and you read the book of Jude, the Bible says that these people were with us before. But they have departed from us. They did not physically depart from the church. They are still in the church. But they have departed from the doctrines of the church. That's the departure. And so the doctrine that they are preaching is the doctrine of Babylon. I said, if you want to preach prosperity message, send people to business school. Let them go to Lagos Business School if they will not prosper. You understand what I'm saying? Go to Lagos Business School. Go and sit under the unction of Patutomi. Just go there for 1 year. In fact, before you leave business school, you get a good job. Right there, somebody will fix you. Come and work in That is where they teach prosperity, not in the church. The prosperity that church teaches is the prosperity of soul, not the prosperity of body. The Lord will help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Any question or contribution? Any contribution? Please go back to the book of Revelation 17. I want you to read it. So that you understand it. Revelation 17. Start from verse 3. Okay, start from verse 1. Look at it. I expect questions from people. The judgment of the great hall that sitteth upon many waters. Okay.
Last statement you made, you said that the church ought to teach the prosperity of the soul, not of the material things. And I had a man of God once, and the man of God said that one of the things that the devil actually used to deceive and actually used to take people away from the church today is money. And he answered that this issue is one of the issues that the church has actually find problem with in handling and balancing and speaking on it. So I now want to ask now, because the man was like, in the church also, we need to actually let people know how to undo kingdom resources and actually how to make it reality in the material things. No, I mean that to make it reality in our material things and our daily activities. That because if we can undo that, we should be able to actually undo our daily things and our material things. So, and I want to ask now, based on what you said, that is it that is not proper, maybe just once in a while, to talk about maybe how to handle resources, material resources in the church.
Anyway, that's why we have various departments. I'm not saying it's not proper to teach about such things, but it should not be an emphasis. You understand? It should not become an emphasis. What we see in the church is that they put so much emphasis on this issue of prosperity rather than prosperity of material prosperity rather than prosperity of soul. Of course, once in a while we talk about it too. If I preach message of prosperity to you, you will think so. You will bring your money, you will give me your money. I'm telling you. You give me your money. Because I will tell you that the seven principle of prosperity, and I will talk about giving. I think it was on January that I spoke about first fruit. That's a principle of prosperity. but it was biblically taught. How many of you still remember that message? It was biblically taught. After that message, somebody in the church gave me money. I'm telling you. Somebody just came with envelope and gave that envelope to me. But I was not laying emphasis on giving to the priest. I was just talking about the Christ as the first fruit of the Father and why we must also operate in that realm. So, of course, we talk about prosperity. You understand? And what brings more prosperity is this thing that we are talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's this thing that we are laying emphasis. Listen, in years to come, many of you will be stupendously rich. I'm telling you. So many of you will be, because this is, you know what is it don't matter. He said, first thing, what is needful is what Mary has given attention to. You have given attention to the needful. You understand? Don't forget last Sunday I said that they are legitimate needs. And ultimately, the Bible said that your Father in heaven knows that you have need of all these things. He's aware that you have need of all these things. You can't claim to be a child of God when you are sleeping on the road and you don't have a house. Or you don't put on a decent clothes. You understand? You don't put on decent dresses. Almost everybody here put on decent dresses. Have we talked about how to dress? Have we preached about it before? Adam alone now. No, we don't. But yet, you just know that, okay, this is the normal thing. There's no one that is not looking better. Praise the Lord. I said this. Even the church where they preach prosperity, you discover that pastors are much more prosperous. So much more that the church member have become terribly poor. And you see them, they will boast on the church that you cannot prosper more than your pastor. And it's true now. I take 10,000 naira, 10,000 naira, 10,000, 10,000 of every one of you is enough for the whole month. Whether you drink gari is not my problem. Do you understand? So what we are saying is that the message of, even that message of prosperity has not actually give them the kind of leverage. I asked a question from somebody, I can't remember. I said, in Winner's Chapel, how many people is as rich as Oyedepo? Since he's been preaching the message of prosperity, how many people is as rich as him? No, if you know someone that, oh, this man is as rich as him, how many people have what he has? Why is it that he has not raised people to his level? Oh, it's a word for thought. Think about it. Why is it that they have not raised people who can match up and become like them, even in the kingdom? It's difficult. So, what we are saying is that first thing, first, seek it first, the kingdom and its righteousness, all other things. If this that I'm talking to you, I'll be very rich. I may not ride the aircraft because I have criticized it. That's the truth. Because I know that I won't need it. I won't need it, but I know I will be very, very rich. I will be very, I am rich already. I can feel it. Praise God. Any question again? Yes. Mike. Are you okay with the answer?
So I want to get your say on that. The place of talking about Lucifer appearing to Jesus Christ on the mountain. Are you saying that Lucifer appeared to Jesus and was telling him something?
Are you also saying that thing is a mind game?
No. Wait. I've not yet finished my.
Okay.
Okay, if you look at the.
Please, let's go there.
All right.
I think it's in the book of Matthew 4 or Luke chapter 3. Either of the two. Or Mark chapter 3.
Okay.
Look for it. And Jesus, okay.
Then when Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted
of the devil.
Of the devil.
Uh-huh. Read further.
And when he had fasted 40 days, he was hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said to
what
him,
do the Bible, what did the Bible say?
Then I said, he came to him.
He came to him.
Yes, sir.
Hey, he came to him now.
I was want okay. to. Now, when you look at Matthew 16, verse 23.
Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 23.
All right. Okay. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou hast an offense unto me, for thou...
This is a different thing. This is a different thing.
All right.
Now, what was operating in Peter was not Peter.
Yes, sir.
There was a spirit that is different from the Spirit of God that had initially operated in Peter.
So
please hold on. He knew that something had taken over the mind of Peter, and that person was called Lucifer, Satan. And so he was not talking to Peter as a person, because he would have said, Peter, get thee behind me. Whereas he was facing Peter. You understand? He was facing, they were talking face to face, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He knew that it was the voice, it was another voice. Listen, just like the Holy Ghost have an audible voice, so the evil spirit also have what? An audible spirit. The evil spirit have capacity to speak audibly, like Holy Spirit also speak audibly. So the voice that the Lord Jesus Christ had was the voice of Satan. And it was Satan that he was addressing. Get thee behind me. Thou art an offense. It was not Peter that was an offense. And don't forget, he has offended the Lord Jesus Christ in the initial book that we read. In the book of Matthew chapter 4. He has offended him when he said, it is the same word that he used. Get thee behind me. For thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and unto him you shall pay allegiance. Do you understand? So it was the voice, he was addressing that voice that was speaking through Peter. Are you clear? You are not clear. You have not asked your question.
Okay. When you said the place nearby, I'll ask you behind.
No, ask me openly. Please ask me. Don't let them learn from it too.
All right.
I know you know what you are. You know what you want to.
Yes, sir.
And you just want people to benefit from it. Yes.
When he said, "And Jesus Christ was led Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness
by the Spirit.
By the Spirit.
Okay.
Now, okay. He was led by the Spirit. It's more or less like, are you saying, okay, there's a Spirit there that said, move. One, two. If you are not saying, okay, he's in the wilderness. Of course, because every time we are walking, you are interacting with Spirit every day, unconsciously or unconsciously. You might not even know.
Listen.
All right, sir.
No, don't get it wrong. Right. Man have the capacity to operate and to live by the Spirit 24/7, but man does not essentially operate and walk with the Spirit 24/7. When man comes to the position of interacting and operating with the Spirit 24/7. Man has achieved. He has come to the full stature of Christ. That's why sometimes you are thinking about things of God. Another thing will just creep into your mind, which is contrary to what you are thinking, and it is a thing of the flesh. Has it happened to anybody here before? There is just an obstruction. There is just an alteration. There is just a distraction. You just fear from what you are initially thinking, and another path is charted for you, and you begin to, if you are not careful, if you did not shut it down immediately, you begin to walk on that path. So the point that I'm trying to say is that man has that capacity, but man has not attained it. Man has not, even our leader here, they have not attained that capacity. That's why you just discover that a taxi driver will want to say, show the lay equation. Are you saying that you are walking by the Spirit when you say that? Do you understand? So, but what you're asking, yes, I'm coming. What you're asking is that he was led by the Holy Ghost.
It was a direction. It instructed him. You understand? Now, not that the Holy Spirit appear in person. You understand? I am not also saying that Satan appeared in person. They are spirit. They are interacting. Spirit is interacting with the spirit. But it's not a mind game, like that man said. So you understand? Because he was operating in a solid realm. It was a spirit interacting with the spirit that, okay, the devil was just speaking to him. There was an audible voice that was coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is bread. You are the Son of God. You can turn the stone to bread. It is happening to us too. Even those of us that are still mortal, mere mortal. It still happened to us that you just have that voice. And as you hear the voice of the good spirit, you also hear the voice of the evil spirit. But you shut them down. So it's not that the devil appeared physically. But there was an interaction of the spirit with the spirit. But when you now say that it's a mind game, what you are saying is that the Bible is not, you are using academic. And that was what I was trying to shut down. That it was not an academic exercise. It was not a mind game. It was spirit interacting with the spirit. Is that clear? I hope everybody understands. Yes, Brahma. Okay. Yes, sir. Please let me give him mic.
Hallelujah. This encounter between Jesus and Satan here. There have been a lot of descriptions, but except by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, you cannot strike out the fact that the devil appeared to him. You can't strike it out. Satan is not omnipresent. So when you say Satan tempted me, Satan cannot be here and he cannot share that quality of God. I don't know if we are getting that. Satan cannot be with me, be beside you, and be beside you at the same time. Only God has that capacity. He can't operate like that. Though he has agents. That is number one. We must know that. Then number two, James said, if any man is tempted, the reason he is tempted is that he is drawn away by his lust. It's because even as saved as we are now, there's this part of us, there's this carnal nature that responds to, in all these things talk, the glories of the earth, they speak. And there's something in us that seems to respond. But when you look at the person of Christ, he was not born the way you and I was born. The Bible says he was tempted in all things. But when you talk about a man being drawn by his lust, I don't think that applies to him. I stand to be corrected. When you say a man is, was he drawn by lust? There is, why do we lust? Is it not because of the carnal nature? Please, am I in line? We lust because of the carnal nature. Jesus bore our nature, but he was tempted at all points, yet he did not sin. So, I will not say that Satan appeared to him. I will not also strike out the fact that if the Bible says that he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, we can't strike out that fact because they are, both of them are beings from eternal past. I don't know if you are getting this. You can't tell me he has not seen him before. It is you and I that can say Satan, maybe God will not allow him show up to some of us. And we have even read books where some ministers of God said the guy actually came around in some kind of likeness. I don't know. I have not seen him before. And there's no point seeing him. Praise God. But I'm saying that whether it's not a mind game. That is just the baseline of God. It's not... It may be in the thought realm, we cannot strike it out, that he was thinking all those things. But tell me, why would Jesus think of jumping down from a mountain? It means I could even mean deeper than him just jumping down a physical mountain. These are possibilities. Why would he want to jump down a mountain? Why would he look at stone? Why would he look at a stone and want to turn it to bread? why will he want to take all the wealth, the things he created? They may mean deep spiritual realities, but I don't want us to begin to argue about what. Definitely, it was reality, because he was led into the wilderness, except the scripture is not telling the truth. But if the scripture says he was led into the wilderness for that purpose, then it's meant for that purpose. It was not chance. It was not that he was just thinking. It was actually for that purpose. Hallelujah. So I am not saying Satan appeared to him live. And I'm not saying it didn't appear to him live. And it's possible it was in his thought realm. But it was definitely not. What by mind game, we are saying that it never really. Maybe we need to understand what it means by mind game. I wouldn't know, but.
Please go to. Let's read that scripture from verse 3. Okay. The Bible says that, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread." Verse 2, please. Verse 2. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was afterward, and what? Did you see? Did you see the balance? Now, the devil will always look for a certain weakness to penetrate. He knew that this person has been fasting and he will need food. Is it maybe 40 days and 40 nights when he has attained? But Jesus Christ has set a particular time to break it. He just wants to truncate that journey. And today is 40 days and 40 nights now. This is stone. Though there is no, this is wilderness. You can't get bread here. Do you understand? It happened to you. When you fast, maybe you say you want to fast this. To 6 o'clock, and by 4 somebody visited you with ice cream. The booty, this is 4 o'clock. You're not it, and you take the ice cream. That was exactly the situation, because you were thirsty, you were anhungered at that particular point in time. So you look at the soft spot at that particular point in time in order to take aim. That's why I said. The first thing he did was turn the stone to bread. Praise God. Then the second one that was also a temptation that said jump from the. He knew that he was the Son. He said, "If you are the Son of God," he had the voice when God says, "This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased." And he followed him that, okay, let's see if actually he's the Son. What he wanted to prove is that sonship. And he thinks the only way in which he can prove his sonship is through the miracles. And that's a lesson to the church. You understand? It's a lesson to the church that miracles does not validate that somebody is from God. Please, let's get that. That somebody is performing miracle, could follow. Devil perform miracle. In fact, although any miracle falls in you. Praise God. It doesn't follow. The lame walk. And so, and the blind see. Well done. That is not a validation that person is the Son of God. So what he want to do is that, okay, let's see. If that will validate him, the Lord Jesus Christ would have been mocked. But he knew better. This is a temptation. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Praise the Lord. So, what I'm just saying is that even though it was not out of lust that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, but then, listen to this, you may not be tempted sometimes out of lust. Do you know that? You may just fall into a place where God wants to prove and make a pride out of you. Can you see this brother? Can you walk like this brother? And something, the devil will just, was Job tempted out of lust? He was not tempted out of lust. Lord, Job was doing his own things when the devil reported, when God was making a boast of him. I said, how will he not? When you have done that. And God said, okay, you will know that it's not because of that. So you understand. So, most of the times, especially for us believers, it is out of lust. But Oftentimes, again, it may not necessarily be out of love. It may be out of the fact that God wants to make boast of you and He wants to elevate you and promote you. Praise God. I think we have had enough tonight. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.